This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Later this hour, we're going to talk about Florida's invasive species with Sanibel author Charles Sobczak. He'll be giving two lectures later this month at libraries in Lee and Sarasota counties. We'll get a bit of a preview. But first, Mosaic Fertilizer has plans to open a new phosphate mine in DeSoto County. The roughly 18,000-acre mine will be in the Peace River Basin, about 3 miles from the DeSoto County seat of Arcadia. The DeSoto County Planning Commission is holding a meeting on the proposed mine tomorrow night, starting at 5:30 in the County Commission meeting room in the Administration Building on Oak Street in Arcadia. Mosaic is one of the world's largest producers of phosphate, which has been used to make fertilizers. The Minnesota-based company has mines across central Florida, and it recently announced it's moving its corporate headquarters to Hillsborough County. But it's caused quite a bit of controversy over the years, especially among environmental advocates who say phosphate mining scars landscapes, destroys waterways, and leaves behind toxic wastes. I'm joined today by one of those advocates to get a sense of what's planned in DeSoto County and what steps remain between proposed phosphate mine and actual mining operations. Rachel Curran is a staff attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity in their St. Pete office. Rachel, thanks for coming in and joining us for Gulf Coast Live today.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Do you live in DeSoto County? If so, we'd especially like to hear from you today, or maybe you live near an existing phosphate mine and would like to give us your input on what that's like. Or maybe you work at a phosphate mine or in the industry and would like to weigh in on our discussion. Either way, give us a call now. The number's 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Just use the hashtag GCL and we'll get your question or comment on the air that way. So for starters, tell us about the Center for Biological Diversity. Like, what are the issues that you guys are generally looking at? And where does phosphate mining fit into that spectrum?
Sure. Our mission is to protect and conserve endangered species. Mm-hmm. And we do that by preserving habitat. Habitat is the number one killer of all endangered species, and phosphate mining in Florida is large amounts of habitat that we're losing, like habitat for the endangered eastern indigo snake and the crested caracara.
Are there endangered species in the area that they are proposing to mine in, or has that hurdle already been covered?
Covered by...
Well, I know that we're talking rezoning first here, but I know that there's also all kinds of permitting that needs to happen. Has the determination whether, you're coming at it through the lens of the species, has that been addressed for this, or are we still just at the stages where we're looking at like land?
Not yet. This mine has preliminary approval from the Army Corps of Engineers, but at this stage, we're looking at local permitting from the county. And at this time, it doesn't seem that they've considered the impact.
Okay, so that's lost. That's further down the road then.
Correct.
Okay, you had a public meeting last week, right?
With
people. How did that go? How many people turned out? Just talk about that a little bit.
It was really well attended. We had about 75 people.
That seems
capacity.
Like a pretty good amount for something like that in this area.
Yeah, which is exciting. And I hope that means that turnout at tomorrow's hearing is just as well attended.
What were the kinds of things that people were wanting to know? What were the concerns that they were, expressing?
Impacts to their lands. A lot of adjacent landowners, farmers. What this would mean for the kind of improvements that they were wanting to now invest in their own land, knowing that a giant phosphate mine is going to be next door, and really what can they do? What can they do to stop it?
Is there I don't want to get the cart before the horse here. We have a lot more to talk about. But what is the sense of the trajectory of this mine going forward? Is there still enough time for lots of public input that could, derail it? Or is it kind of heading
down the tracks? Sure, especially at the county level. This is just the preliminary step. So the Planning Commission will be making a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners, which then votes in late July, July 24th. On whether to approve the rezone. Now, they've segmented the process. Usually a rezone and the master mining plan are sort of considered at the same time. This process now has been segmented, and it's really a way to sort of not have to analyze the impacts when they should be sort of piecemeal approach kind of slips things under the radar. But that does give us more time. Yeah, there are more opportunities if, say, somebody that was concerned and couldn't make tomorrow's hearing there's still plenty of time to either submit written or oral comments at future meetings.
Okay. We did invite Mosaic Fertilizer to join the show today. They declined, but they did send us this statement. I want to read it now. We welcome the public's interest and input regarding our local applications. The process leading up to our rezoning hearings has involved several years' worth of dialogue and education. The goal of those conversations has been getting to know our neighbors and allowing them to ask questions to fully understand our operations. On most issues of significance, differences of opinion are to be expected. Over time, we hope to earn the support of neighbors who oppose this rezone because our work in Florida is important, and it is important to the economy of our region as well as for farmers and families across the country. So that was the statement from Mosaic Fertilizer. So let's dig into this rezoning. What is it that needs to be rezoned, and how does it sort of fit into the county's overall comprehensive plan and what they intend for that land, and where does mining fit into that?
So they're looking to rezone about 14,000 acres. The balance of the mining acreage has already been rezoned in 1981, but there has been no industrialized mining in the county.
So it's been rezoned from agricultural to
industrial mining.
Okay.
Correct. The surrounding land uses are all agricultural, and our argument is that that's not a compatible land use with the, it's inconsistent with the comprehensive plan because of that incompatibility with.
So if it's agriculture that's around it, is it being actively farmed? Have you spent enough time in the area to get a lay of the land of what's there?
There is some farming going on. I'm not sure about Mosaic's lands and their ownership and what they're doing with their land while they're waiting for their permit approvals. But there are farmers in the area. It is an agricultural community.
When did you say that parts of it were changed in the comp planned from ag to mining?
Way back in 1981.
Would there have been public input on that? I mean, I think there's public input on comprehensive plan changes, right?
There would have been at that time.
How long has phosphate mining been a thing in Florida? How deep
about
is that?
About 100 years.
Okay,
now.
So people in 81 knew what they were voting on or what they were discussing.
Right, presumably.
So this generalized phosphate mining overlay designation. That's a mouthful. Can you explain what it is that means? And that's because that's what they're going for here, right? That's the rezone?
That's an overlay district. So the zoning currently is agricultural with a phosphate overlay district, meaning that this is the area of the county that has phosphate reserves.
Okay, so that's the places where the geologists have determined that phosphate could be mined.
And the only potential areas that could be rezoned to phosphate industrial are part of that overlay district.
Gotcha.
Mosaic requested that phosphate overlay district in 2010 and received that.
So how long have they been working on this this proposed mine?
I mean, several years.
At least as far back as 2010,
correct.
Presumably. Do they own all this land, or is this land that they are going to be somehow leasing or getting the mineral rights from other landowners?
They own the majority of the land, about 4,000 of which is just mineral rights.
And so this meeting tomorrow night, so what's going to be discussed? How much time do they have to take input from the public? Explain how it will work.
Typically, the applicant will present first, and then there will be a staff report given to the commissioners. The written staff report is already very pro-mining and pro in support of this rezoning. But that does not mean that the commissioners have to abide by that staff report. They can take input from the public and are encouraged to. Each member of the public has 5 minutes to speak and give their testimony.
Okay. So I was reading it right. I read through that staff report, and it sounded to me, I'm not an attorney, and there's a lot of words all strung together, but it sounded like that there's already sort of an affirmative understanding from staff attorneys or the county staff that they're okay with this moving forward the way it's moving forward at this point.
Correct. And part of that is because they have not analyzed the mining impacts by saying, well, a rezone in and of itself does not allow for mining. We have to approve the operating permits and the master mining plan at a later date.
Gotcha.
And that's that segmentation that I was talking about that's problematic.
Gotcha. I am joined by Rachel Curran from the Center for Biological Diversity today. We're discussing a proposed phosphate mine up in DeSoto County. The County Planning Commission is holding a public meeting on the mine tomorrow evening. If you'd like to join our conversation with a comment or question, give us a call now. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or on Twitter. We're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So you mentioned the segmentation. So what happens – okay, if this rezoning goes through pretty much as they are have written it and how the application has gone, what are then the next steps that come after that? I know there's the county commission meeting later this month. I guess start there and then if you could try to extrapolate out.
Right. So this June 5th tomorrow meeting is just a recommendation from the Planning Commission. And then in July, the board will be – voting and either accepting the recommendation or not. And then it has not been scheduled yet, but a mastermind plan will need to be approved.
Okay.
And that's when we would dig into setback requirements and sort of the operations of the mine day to day.
And so at what point do the, you know, the Environmental Corps or the Army Corps of Engineers and the, you know, Environmental Protection Agency and are all those agencies at the state and federal level all going to get involved in this at one point before they get to the point where they're actually mining?
Yes. Yes. They would need permits from all – from federal, state, and local.
And that's a long process, right? So we're not right around the corner from mining, at least from my understanding of how things work. Is that fairly accurate or –
Because they've already received preliminary approval from the Army Corps of Engineers, sort of these local permits are really the last line of defense that we have.
Okay, so the preliminary,
so I don't wanna...
the preliminary approval took account into all the environmental impacts, or
it was an area-wide environmental impact statement. So it took account the environmental impacts about 50,000 acres of mining in the area, four different mines, the DeSoto mine being one of them.
Gotcha. So it all fits under that, but it's not very granular as far
Correct.
As exactly what's on the ground
Correct.
There
so
in
we haven't,
DeSoto.
We haven't gotten a site-specific environmental impact statement for the DeSoto mine.
Will that happen? Is that something that will need to happen, or is that something that may not end up having to happen?
It should happen. And in the past, for the South Pasture Extension, we've only gotten an environmental assessment, which is not as a detailed as an environmental impact statement. It does not sort of tier back to the – it tiers back to the AEIS in a way that
– What's that, AEIS?
The environment – the area-wide environmental
okay,
impact.
Okay, gotcha. So
the Corps did sort of a programmatic, large sort of bird's-eye environmental impact analysis that didn't get into the nitty-gritty of each individual mine.
So there's other mines in other places in Florida. Have they all kind of come through a similar process, or is this one somehow an outlier from your perspective?
They're similarly processed and permitted.
Okay.
Yes.
We got a question through Twitter from Calusa Waterkeeper. They ask, what assurances will be made to protect the water supply? I don't know if that's within the scope of what you can answer or based on what you've already said, but can you reflect on that question?
There are some financial assurances and bonding requirements that they have. But it's,
meaning if they pollute, then they'll have to pay to clean it up?
Correct. Or ahead of time, they're going to be providing these financial assurances as part of their permit requirement. But these are insufficient given the wastes and the waste stream that we have from these mines. They're not enough to compensate for a major disaster, for instance.
Well, let's talk about how these mines work and the kinds of environmental degradation that they can cause. I want to start with the thing that made the news that everybody saw, and I just saw recent news that they've sort of finished completing it. There was a Lake City mine. There was a sinkhole. A bunch of stuff that was polluted went down into the aquifer. Took them something like $85 million in several years of work to plug that. Is there something about the geology there that is fundamentally different than the geology in DeSoto County that made that possible there? Or is that something that could happen anytime you're doing phosphate mining?
That's something that can happen anytime you're doing phosphate mining. Florida's geology is karst geology.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that much weight placed and that much water pumping and withdrawals, you're prone to sinkholes. The New Wales sinkhole happened in what's called a phosphogypsum stack, which is a waste product from producing the fertilizer from the ore. And that's got acidic water on top, acidic process water on top of that stack. A large stack trickles down into the limestone and forms sinkholes. And those are that's actually not the first sinkhole that's been in New Wales. That's the fourth. One of which happened in 1994. The other two were not publicly provided any notice, and we only found out about them ourselves through an open records request.
Didn't something just change in the law fairly recently that made it so they now have to provide public information on that sort of thing? Am I remembering
correct.
That correctly?
Yes.
Can you do better than I just did in explaining what that is?
The Scott administration now requires notification within, I believe, 24 hours. I'm not sure exactly the time frame. Whenever there's a sort of anomaly in a gyp stack, or to the effect that happened in New Wales.
So oil and gas come from, you know, millennia of carbon that has been condensed into something that's energy rich. Where does phosphate come from? What is it? I mean, do you know that?
Sure. So phosphate is a key ingredient in fertilizer, and
right.
It comes from a matrix that's about 60 feet below the ground, or up to 50 feet below the ground, rather. And it's a prehistoric formation with dissolved phosphorus mixing with the carcasses of dead animals, fossilized
them. Okay, so it's sort of similar in a sense to petroleum-based stuff.
It's a finite resource, yes.
And this part of Florida in particular is rich in phosphate?
Yes, Bone Valley.
Where else in the country or the world does phosphate come from?
Morocco is a large producer. There's phosphate mines in China as well. There's a few mines in Idaho, North Carolina.
Mosaic's based in Minnesota, or they are until soon to be moving
right.
to Florida. Do they have phosphate in Minnesota?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. That just happens to be
where
company's
they,
based.
Yes.
Okay. Let's return to the mining process. So it's up to 50 feet below the surface. So how does it work? Like, describe what would happen to a stretch of land in order to get the phosphate out of it.
Sure. So first, overburden is removed, and that's what we would call vegetation and soil. And that's cleared.
Like everything from the top.
Everything. So burning all the vegetation off, and then taking what's basically a one-ton excavator, giant machinery, to dig these open pit strips, mines, and they're in strips. And to reach that matrix, that valuable matrix, and I call it a matrix because it consists of about one-third clay, one-third sand, and one-third phosphate ore.
Okay.
From there, that needs to be beneficiated. And that uses a process that uses large amounts of water, about 100,000 gallons per minute. A lot of that's recycled, but still they're still operating under a 69 million gallon permit for daily water use from
69
the water,
million gallons per day.
Per day from the water management district. Correct. And that water is free.
We'll continue. Sorry. I was being distracted by things that were not related to your answer. So continue.
Okay. And so after the beneficiation process, which separates, and that also uses chemical reagents like fuel oil, the phosphate ore is separated, and the sand tailings are set aside to recontour the land later.
That's what they'll be using to
reclaim.
Right,
to reclaim the land, which is not restoration, and that's a key distinction. They'll take that phosphoric ore, and they will ship that by rail to a phosphate fertilizer plant.
Is that necessarily nearby, or that can be wherever?
Not necessarily nearby. In DeSoto County, there are no plans to build a new fertilizer plant. There will be a beneficiation plant, though. The phosphate ore will be processed according to the Corps of Engineers in either New Wales or Riverview.
Mm-hmm.
Riverview dipstacks are right on the Tampa Bay. And those dipstacks have breached in the past, sending toxic sulfuric acid process water into the bay, producing lots of fish kills and just really devastating the ecosystems there. Once Once that beneficiated rock gets sent to the phosphate plants, they are added with sulfuric acid, and we get phosphoric acid from that, which is the main ingredient for fertilizer, plus a byproduct known as phosphogypsum. Phosphogypsum is slightly radioactive because the whole process concentrates the naturally occurring radionuclides.
Gotcha. So that's where the nuclear stuff comes in.
Right. And the EPA has determined that there is no use for that phosphogypsum. Some countries, their phosphogypsum is less radioactive just based on the nature of the ore. And they are able to use that in, say, construction, tile. But here in the United States and in Florida, we cannot because our phosphogypsum is too radiated.
Too radiated. Okay. Let's take a call from Gordon up in DeSoto County. Gordon, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. What do you have to say today?
Hi. I'm actually not from DeSoto County, but I'm a research assistant for a planer that works all over the state. And what I wanted to say was that a lot of small municipal governments will do exactly what the county is doing in this case, where they'll split it up, or they'll have their planner, their expert, their report written in this way, because they're trying to limit as much public comment on the topic as possible. They're trying to get it in under the radar. So it's really good that you guys are reporting on this, because what they're really trying to do is keep us from expressing a negative opinion about it, because the county does stand to make a lot of money, and they aren't really concerned with the effects it will have on its own citizens. The other thing is, this mining could have a really negative effect on our aquifer, and we already have a water crisis happening and more people here than we can provide water for over time. And polluting more of our water would cause problems not only for the citizens of DeSoto County, but it would cause problems for access to water for people all over the state.
All right. Gordon, thank you very much for your input. We appreciate your call. Can you reflect on what he had to say?
He's right. That is right. That segmentation of the process does limit public input.
Let's talk a little bit, though, about economic impact. I mean, this is big business. DeSoto County is not really, you know, I don't know what the current unemployment rate is, but I know there's not a whole lot of industry there. What is the balancing point between the one and the other? Or from your perspective, is it just not worth it?
I would say it's just not worth it. No matter how much money the industry can bring into the county, it's negligible in comparison to the toxic legacy the industry leaves behind. There are not any new jobs that are created. These jobs travel with the mines.
Okay, so this is not hiring local people?
Are you sure
of that?
Generally, the mining company will just transport their currently employed people and move them with the mine south.
It's a tax base for the county, though, right? So I guess the county makes taxes off of it?
Sure. It does, but it also makes money off of farming and
right.
other industry as well, ecotourism, agritourism. These things are being precluded by this.
Gotcha. So tomorrow night's meeting is at the it's the Planning Commission meeting, right?
Correct.
And you'll be there for that?
Yes.
And then there's another meeting later this month. The County Commission, the full commission considers it?
July 24th.
And so tonight's meeting will take public input, and then that'll be fed into the the County Commission's considerations.
Right.
So then if the County Commission approves it, then the rezoning is immediately official, and then they can go to sorting out the rest of the permitting.
Correct.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's about all the time we have. Do you have any final thoughts?
This industrial phosphate mining is one of the most destructive, environmentally destructive practices that we have in Florida. And if you're concerned, please, please show up to this meeting.
Okay. Well, that is all the time we have for this part of the show. I want to thank my guest, Rachel Curran, as a staff attorney with the Center for Biological Diversity in their St. Petersburg office. Rachel, thanks for coming down. We appreciate it. And after this short break, we're going to be talking about the many, many, many invasive plants and animals that now call Florida home with Sanibel author Charles Sobczak. I'm Mike Canary. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live here on WGCU NPR for Southwest Florida. Stay with us.